Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Ron.
Well, we are going to have an interesting evening tonight because you have got your teeth pulled, so your sidekick is going to be taking over here. And what we're going to start with is knowing your rights. If I posted two different videos in the chat room for people to see, the first one is how to deal with police officers when they come to your home. If it is in regards to you have one officer, two officers that come and knock on your door in regards to we're introducing ourselves to the neighborhood, here are the easy steps that you can follow. You do not have to open up your door all the way. You have a chain on your door, you know, a chain type lock. You can place that on. You can open up the door a little bit. They will introduce themselves, maybe hand you a card. And you can say, what can I do to help you? And they can respond by saying, we are here to introduce ourselves into the neighborhood. May we come in? And you do not have to let them in. That is your right. You can simply say very politely, do you have a warrant? Most people will say, do you have a warrant? And they can respond in regards to, no, we're just, you know, coming in to introduce ourselves. You can politely decline. And there's no problem. Most people don't understand that. They automatically assume as soon as there is an officer on the other side of your screen door or whatever, they think, you know, they are at liberty to allow the police in. What most people don't understand is once you allow them into your home, they are visually checking out your place. They don't have to go and search anywhere, but they are doing it visual. They are visually checking out your home or what they can see. That allows an open door that most people do not want to have. Not that any of us have anything to hide, but the point being most people don't know their rights. It's not uncommon. You can step out on your porch, you know, or just stand there at the doorway and do not let them in. But like I said, there are people that don't understand that right, or they think that they'll be in trouble. They're not going to be in trouble. But again, the word is for the show in regards to letting people know what their rights are. The second video that I posted is in regards to, am I free to go? If you are pulled over for, if your tire crossed the line a little bit and you get pulled over by a police officer and they've got you behind your car, you're standing behind your car and they're looking at you face to face, well, it seems to be a problem, there's no problem. We saw you slightly swerve on the line. We want to make sure you're okay. Everything is fine. Am I able to search your car? Do you have a warrant? You know, there's nothing that requires you to allow the search of your vehicle. Not saying that you have anything in your vehicle. be concerned with, but you have that right. And then, you know, if he persists or if an officer persists in regards to this is what we need to do or this is what I'd like to do, okay, again, officer, are you charging me with anything or am I free to go? You know, people have to know their rights in that regards as well. So, and again, however many times this has been brought up on the show, whatever the case may be in regards to knowing your rights, you have to wake up, you have to know what's going on. If as Phil says, if you bend over once, you will bend over twice. So it's better to be prepared to understand what your rights are. You know what you can do and you know what you can't do. Don't be cocky with anybody, you know, because their job is to see what information they can get. Most people will put themselves in that form of a jeopardy because automatically, I swear it wasn't me, or I didn't do this, or I had no idea, or whatever. Because people don't know their rights, or they don't understand the law. So the best thing to do is to look it up. Look it up, get informed, go on certain, you know, you can see certain types of videos on YouTube, and, you know, it shows what your rights are, what you can do, what you can't do. If it comes to traffic pullover, if it comes to, you know, if you're going to be pulled into the jail for some kind of traffic violation, you need to know, you need to get informed, because there are no books out there that's going to sit there that you can keep with you, a little handbook to say, you know, hey, let me look this up first and then I can respond. No, it doesn't work that way. In regards to, as we've talked about countless times, you do not need to show your driver's license if you are pulled over in for a traffic violation, because when they pull you over, they already know who you are. They already have you pulled up. They know what your name is. They know where you live. They pretty much know everything all by that computer that's in their car. So the easiest thing to do is be polite, as always, you know, because you don't want to give them a hard time for them to say you're resisting or whatever the case may be. So, in essence, learn. Pay attention. Go look things up. Study it. Know it. You know, keep it inside you at all time, because for someone that isn't informed, their rights can be violated and they have no idea what they're doing or any idea what's going on. So the simplest form, learn. Look it up. Let's see. What else? And, of course, we always know that they will find a way to lie. They do lie. Surprisingly enough, they do. And they can word things a certain way, and you get caught up in something, you have no idea what you just admitted to, you know. So it's best to know your rights, bottom line. Read. Let's see. Hello, Aaron. Yes, you are not Aaron, Art. You made a good point here in regards to my show license, registration, and insurance. Yes, we do know that. But, you know, the right being in regards to you do have that right of not having to show your ID. They already know who you are. Even though they're going to ask for it, they already know. I find it ridiculous, you know, We already know the routine. License, registration, insurance card. Okay, well, when is it going to be when, you know, you don't have to show it in regards to them approaching the car? Because why? It's already in your information that they pull up on the screen. Anyhow, so tonight's going to be kind of, we're going by the seat of our pants. So, Art, if you'd like to call in, it's fine. If not, it's okay. We understand. Let's see. Oh, and from what I just have heard, Attica 7 is headlining at the Key Club in Hollywood Saturday night. This coming Saturday night, free admission to all pass holders. Doors open at 8 p.m. So if possible, make sure you get the word out. If you are an Attica 7 fan, get the word out where they're going to be playing this Saturday night at the Key Club in Hollywood. It will be an awesome show, something you don't want to miss. Oh, that's at work. Okay, let's see. We're going to have, I don't know what Thursday's show is going to be because unfortunately I'm the sidekick on Tuesdays and Phil isn't at the par to speak because of some work he's had done today. So I can't say what Thursday's show will be, but a week from today, we're going to be bringing in a guest that is going to tell us his story. He has a book out. It's called Tall Money in regards to his life. He is well known in the Chicago suburban area. His name is John Kappas. We're going to touch different phases of his life next week on Tuesday's show in regards to he was the youngest in U.S. history to be charged as a drug kingpin. It's going to be an interesting show. So if anyone needs links or anything to know somewhat about him before he comes on the show, send me a message. You know, I can put it out there, you know, so that way you have some knowledge of the gentleman that will be coming on the show next week. Let's see. Today, I'm trying to keep things on knowing your rights, or even like with our phones. Again, we have to keep getting the word out there to know if your phone is bugged or if to get that extra little battery out of your phone so they can't track you. It's like the size of a hearing aid. All cell phones have them that are in the 3G, 4G network. It's a wonderful thing to remove. Your phone will work just fine. You don't need to have that battery there. if your phone is being tapped, you're going to notice, or if people are listening, you're going to notice your battery usage going really fast. Your white on the main part of your screen is going to show longer. You may hear certain background noises if you're on a phone call, or you may not. Or in some cases, our phones just go poof, and it's not a network problem. Unfortunately, we're in today's society where privacy is no longer existent. So always be aware. Big Brother listens. Big Brother watches. So always keep it simple, direct. Not that anybody's doing anything wrong. But, you know, we could be talking about there's several different words of what not to say or what not to use that are codes that we don't even realize because, you know, this is things that they are looking for. So there's just too many of them to list. We had them listed before on prior shows in regards to what not to say because there are certain key codes to Homeland Security and the FBI. Why? It just escapes my brain. And a lot of the words, it's what we use every day. So nobody realizes that they're putting what they're saying in a normal conversation, they look at it as codes in regards to, well, hit in for how Homeland Security, the FBI, and the president looks at us as terrorists here in our own country. Stockpiling of food. Stockpiling of food is a big no-no. But most of us cannot afford to go to the store every week to buy meals the last 5 days out of the week. Most of us, we can only do it once a month. But if you stockpile food, you are considered a terrorist. If you have what we call here, I don't know what it's called in other states, food stamps or a link card, to help you to be able to have food in your home that's provided by the state. If you qualify, they monitor what you use on your cards. They know what you're spending. They know what you're doing. They know when you hit the ATM machine. They watch everything. There is no privacy. That's been gone for a long time. It's kind of sad in so many ways because there's so many other things to worry about instead of if bottled water is on sale for $2.99 a case and you buy 6 cases of water, you're stockpiling. They look at that as you're a terrorist. They don't care anymore that something's on sale and you're stocking up on it, so you don't have to go back and forth to the store so often. It gets kind of ridiculous, and at the rate of gas prices, it's insane. Let's see. Oh, Eunice, are you there? Hello? Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
Hello, Eunice. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. This is a ladies' night show because Phil has had some dental work.
Oh, God. That's nice. So
yes.
It's a lady night, huh?
It's a ladies' night, so we get to talk about whatever we want.
Oh, that's wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. A little bit tired, you know. Had to do a lot of running around today with the county commissioners.
Oh, how did that go? Or
how is it going? Well, it went very well, you know, so that's the main thing. And then I got some good news from Massachusetts, and it looks like I'll be coming home probably about the 13th of November to sign the bill, you know.
Excellent.
So
finally.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Congratulations. It's been such a long journey for you.
Well, it's been a long journey for all of us, you know.
Yeah,
Like I said before, it's not just myself, but several of 100 people have taken thousands of hours and time and their own money to travel back and forth to Boston.
Right.
And you know, so it's everybody's bill, you know. It's I was talking to Common Dressel for a long time today, and he said it's not about accolades. It's you know, it's a fact that through people that I knew at the State House that this bill had been saved.
Right.
If I hadn't have been there that day, it would have passed. And as always, the insurance companies and the non-profitable organizations would have won out. And,
right.
We would have we would have killed the bill. You know.
Right.
So
hold that thought for just 1 minute. We have a caller from 323. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
And you are Melissa?
Yes, ma'am, I am. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you? And where are you calling
good.
From?
I am calling from out by Banning, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Banning, California. So I was actually calling to shout out an event, so I didn't mean to cut the earlier gentleman off. So if he wants to finish speaking, I can go after him. That's not
oh, no, no. You're talking with ladies. We're ladies tonight because our host is not feeling well. He had dental work done. So my name is Nora. I'm from the Chicago area. I co-host with him on Tuesdays. Okay. So we are kind of just going by the seat of our pants tonight. But that's okay, Melissa. We want to hear what you have to say. Eunice, just give us a little bit here, and you're not going to be muted, so we can all talk. Okay. And we have a caller from 847. But caller 847, hold, just so Melissa can tell us what's going on. Okay, go ahead, Melissa.
Okay, I'll make it really quick. What I'm doing is I'm part of, my husband and I have just filmed a documentary about the military, by the military, for the military, and it's called Our Stories, Our Histories. And we interviewed four people that are still alive, and there's an interview from my grandfather on there from World War II, who was a prisoner in Pregador and did the death march. And what we do is we whip through and we just ask them their stories. It's plain and it's blunt. It's not edited at all in a way that would change what they said. We spoke to a gentleman whose son was a KIA in Afghanistan and what it was like for him to the process he had to go through to bring his son home. Excuse me, I'm sorry. We talked to a young guy who's 25, who is a Marine sniper, who has PTSD, and he told us music saved his life. And when he said that, we decided to help other soldiers with PTSD. And the goal of what we're trying to do is raise money to get instruments and music to veterans and their families. So in doing that is what we're doing is our film is already filmed and finished, and we're going to debut it at three different concerts that we have going on here in California. And it's what we're giving away. Johnny Coffin from Coffin Case has donated to us a hard bass case, and a couple of, more than a couple, a few 15 or 20 soft Guitar Hero bags, some Ozzy, some Motley Crue. We also have some other companies that are donating guitars, and the only people that can be in the drawing are veterans or active duty, and the raffle for them is free. They don't buy the ticket at all. They just show their military ID, and they get in the drawing. And our first show is this Friday night at Stingers out in San Bernardino. And it starts at 7, and we have, can I shout out the band real quick, and then I'll let you go?
No, that's fine, because I have a message for
with
you
us.
From Phil. He can't talk, okay, but he's typing to me for you, okay?
Oh,
so
fantastic.
He wanted to say hello to you because you are a good friend of his. He's here. He's hearing us. He just can't talk. Okay. If you have any flyers, please make sure you get them to Phil so he can post them up. Okay. Because that's very important. Do you have any flyers for this event? I think it's a wonderful event what you guys are doing.
And we do. We actually have flyers for not only each show, but each different band, so that each band is featured in the middle of the flyer, as well as the accompanying bands. And we also have a trailer that I believe Phil has already posted, but I can resend again, of the documentary.
And if you could, email it to him as well. Do you have his email, his private email?
You want to just shoot it to me one more time just to be safe? I know I have
it. Okay.
I can actually Facebook him and get it. I'll just Facebook him.
Okay.
Because
he did put flyers up on his Facebook page. Okay. So this way he can get the word out for you. Okay. Let me get his email real quick. I have it in my email. I don't have that open right now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting in my car at the Fender Center because my daughter's in practice. So I'm on a cell phone and a notebook in front of me. So I'm doing this really
okay. Okay. I can't do it on the air. Do you?
No problem.
Can you send him a message when you get home?
Yes, I can, ma'am.
Okay. And then that way, you know, he can give you the information from there. How's that? Okay.
That would be great.
He will give it to you. And he's sorry he can't talk. He will hopefully feel better by Thursday.
Oh, I hope
but
so.
But please
I
come back on Thursday if you can and remind us. And like I said, Phil will put the flyers out for you, okay, for everyone to see. But if you can, come back on Thursday as well. And you
okay.
can, they'll put you on so that way you can do another reminder since it'll be for the following day and so on. And that way more word will get out, you know, to people there in California.
And we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. You too, Phil. I hope you feel better. And thank you, ladies, for having me.
You're very
me.
Welcome. Have a good evening.
You too.
Right now.
Bye-bye now.
Okay. Do we have any other callers? We have a caller from 847 area code. Are you with us?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you
hear
me?
I'm Nora from Chicago. I'm Phil's sidekick on Tuesday. But he had dental work and he can't speak on the show. He's here with us, so he can hear us. He just can't
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we
can. Hear you.
Okay, I just wanted to say hi to someone. Could you ask him if he recognizes my voice?
Phil, do you Phil, do you recognize her voice? Okay, I have to write to him. I'm sorry, just give me 1 second. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Oh, you are Phil's sister. Well, it's a
yes.
pleasure to meet you.
Wow, you did. I just want to tell him I hope he feels better. I was listening and... he doesn't know that I try to listen sometimes. Sometimes I don't always get the chance to call. But I'm very proud of him, and I love him, and I just want to tell him I hope he feels better.
That's so kind. I'm
that's
sure
so
he appreciates
nice.
That. I know he would say something if he could, but his mouth is just really
I got
dead.
Him at his best right now, don't you know?
Yes. So whatever you have to say, whatever family secrets, get him out there now.
I got
you're
him
live
now.
In 40, you're live in 48 countries plus the United States. Go for it.
No, that's okay. We'll keep the family secrets secret because there ain't many of them.
Right. He says he loves you too. And he does agree that you would say so on the air, so...
Yes, I thought I'd take this opportunity to make him not be able to say anything back to me then.
Isn't that just wonderful when you have him and there's nothing he can do but type?
Yes. I love it. I love you, Phila. Keep up the good work.
He said it's your story. You know how he is. Yeah, it's
oh,
story.
I know why, brother. He's my best.
Well, it's good. Now, are you from Illinois or California?
I'm from Illinois.
Oh, okay. That's where I'm from. Well, south side of Chicago.
Yeah, I was hoping he wouldn't recognize the area code.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, he has the switchboard control, so he knows who you are. And where you're calling from.
Ah, man, I should have privated out my number.
You should have put it, marked it as unavailable.
Well, I am his only sister, so I feel blessed to have him.
Well, you should be. Family is important.
Yes.
He's a great guy.
Oh, and he does know where you're at, too, but I already said that because he already typed it in a small box to me.
Yeah, I'm in a little town outside of Chicago. I'm about 10 miles from O'Hare.
Well, I'm 7 miles from Midway.
Ah.
So,
all right,
you know,
well, you guys have a great evening.
You too, and it was nice talking to you.
You too. Take it easy, bro. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Oh, he said he loves you.
Oh, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now,
that was interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
Wait, just 1 second, Eunice. Paul, we have you. Hello, Paul.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you?
Good. This is Paul Renteria in Los Angeles. I want to say, Phil, I hope you get well.
Yes, he is. You know, I'm his sidekick on Tuesdays. I'm Nora from Chicago. And so it's actually kind of funny. I thought I was going to have some, you know, some backup help that's normally with us on Tuesdays, you know. So far you've got two of us. Phil can hear. He just can't talk right now. Hopefully he can by Thursday.
And that's a wonderful thing that he can't talk, right?
I know. We can say so much and we can't get in trouble.
I know it.
Oh, and
Phil.
Paul, I want to say I saw your movie that you were in. I'm friends with you on Facebook. You did fantastic on that movie. Wonderful job. Do you have anything new that's upcoming?
Yes. In January, I'm in a movie with Emilio Rivera called Water and Power.
Oh, okay. Now, is that already coming out to the theater, or is that coming out different?
I believe it's going to be screened at the Sundance Film Festival in January.
Okay.
And then hopefully released after that.
That sounds
And
wonderful.
I have another movie, American Dream, that hopefully will be coming out now, next year as well. And I guess the movie you're talking about, Nora, that you see me, is probably Due Date with Robert Downey
Jr.
That's
it. Yes. Wonderful. I don't know how you could have done that movie without laughing.
That was a great experience. It came out in 2010, and it's playing at Cinemax for the month of October, and it's usually on HBO, so I've been blessed that it's been playing, and I get a kick out of it.
Yes, it's a wonderful comedy show. I recommend anybody to watch that, you know, and because when I first saw it, I couldn't stop at the laugh, you know. I mean, you can't help it because, you know, when you pulled over to two other actors in the vehicle, the one driver, he's such a yo-yo. I mean, in the movie, he's just funny. Like, okay, Phil wants me to talk with you about the Mission Run that's on Sunday.
Yes, this Sunday, October 14th, we are doing a run for the Los Angeles Mission. Operation Keep L.A. Warm, and we will be leaving at 11 a.m. sharp from Manuel's El Tepeyac restaurant at 13131 Crossroads Parkway in the City of Industry. That's just east of the 605 freeway, right off the 60 at Crossroads.
Okay.
And we'll be leaving and meeting there for 10, they have a great breakfast, and then we're rolling to the mission at 11 a.m. sharp.
Okay, now Phil already has the flyer.
Excellent.
Okay, but Phil has the flyer, so he has that posted up for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm hoping he'll be able to join us on that ride.
Oh, I'm sure he will. You know, it just takes a couple days after when you get a couple T's pulled, you know. And then we will hear his voice.
Also, Nora, growing been mentored by some special people in my life. I've just been lucky. And,
now, would you care to elaborate on that? Because we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. I grew up in the Mexican neighborhood, and every Mexican neighborhood has a crazy white guy that's tough. And our neighbor was Bob Bremer, B-R-E-M-E-R, and of your listeners like to Google him. Bob was Bob rode bikes with my dad.
Okay.
And he also was one of Bruce Lee's close buddies.
You're kidding.
And so as a kid, I got to meet Bruce Lee. They'd say, hey, come on over. Kato's at the house. And, Bob has known almost most major Hollywood stars, and Bob had his opportunities to be in the movies, but he was a humble guy. He didn't want to be in movies, but he told me I could do it. And Google him. He's a really interesting guy. He came out. He's usually featured every year in Karate Magazine and Black Belt.
Right.
And he was very respected by Bruce Lee. And anyways, he's in hospice, and I visited him with him this morning. And he tried to speak to me, but he can't talk. But he squeezed my hand, bent his legs like he was trying to throw a kick.
Right.
Bob, one of the original cool dudes. Ever since I was 4 or 5, he had a 1923 Harley sidecar. Again, one of my mentors. Met a lot of fascinating people through him. And
now, is there a way, like, maybe would he be accepting, like, if people were to send him cards or anything? I mean, where you could maybe, I get with Phil, possibly, you know, up on an address or something like that. Would he appreciate that?
Yes, he would. I will send Phil a link, and if you have a pen, and I'll send it to Phil, you can send them to my P.O. Box, 1886, Montebello, California, 90640.
1886, Montebello.
Montebello, M-O-N-T-E-B-E-L-L-O, California.
Okay, California.
90640.
90640, and then just have it addressed to you, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Paul Renteria, that's R-E-N-T-E-R-I-A.
I know, I have you on my Facebook page. I came and requested you after the last show you were on with us. Phil did type to me and told me that nothing is going to keep him from being there on Sunday. Nothing.
Excellent.
Okay.
Tell Phil that.
Well, he can hear you. He's just typing
okay,
to me. Okay.
I sent Phil a link, and he could pass it on to the listeners, but there's a Sons of Anarchy fundraiser in Burbank Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for Tim Coates, who plays Tig. And the tickets are $200 a piece. There's only 200 people invited or seated for dinner.
Okay.
And it's going to be a great fundraiser. Emilio Rivera and I will be rolling to that. So people can purchase tickets if they would like to go.
Okay. Well, like I said, he can hear us. He just can't talk. I know that you guys will get together either through messages or something, you know. But like I said, he does hear everything that you say. But he said he will see you Saturday.
Roger that. Tell him we are rolling to the dinner between 5 and 6. If
okay.
He wants, that's great. If he wants to stay at my crib, be here by 4 p.m.
Okay. He hasn't typed anything, so I'm sure he will be there.
Yeah, he'll get the messages.
Right. Well, like I said, he hears you. He's just typing to me because... You know, this way I can let you know what he is saying. He said he will be there before 3.
Okay, very good.
Okay. So
excellent.
I'm your in-between person today.
All right. So I'm talking him in Oceanside via Chicago.
Right.
And that's great technology.
You know, it's just a small world, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay. You know, the mission run that you're doing, you know, it's a fantastic event that's coming up. I know that you've talked about it prior when you've come on the show, and because there's a lot of people. You don't get the cold weather like we do here in Chicago, granted, but it does get cool. You know, you're cool as like jeans and T-shirt for me. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that need coats. They need sweaters. They need warm clothing because the season is coming up for your weather to change, you know, from what you normally have during the summer. And for people that are homeless or whatever, they do need that, you know, and it's a fantastic event that you guys are doing.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mark Resendez, he actually puts on the run, and I have created a show, Writing for a Cause, and we are developing some shows to pitch to the networks and whoever else may be interested. And
right.
So we're excited about it. But Martine's going to be the star of the show. I'm just the creator, and we want to have a fast guests like Phil, and that's because of my passion for bikes. I told the man upstairs that if I got into the movies, I would give my time to charitable organizations, help others, and this is all part of the dream.
Okay. He did want me to let you know that there should be no more issues doing remotes. He's got it fixed.
Brilliant. Okay.
And this is an awesome show that they're doing. All our passion for bikes. So I don't know what that is, but I'm just passing what he wrote.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's basically it. We're doing charities, and it's based on positive portrayals of bikers in the community.
Correct.
Some of us like to give back or show the youngsters out there to dream. You can be in movies, you can ride Harleys, you can give back, and it's a great feeling.
Right. Well, you know, and that's what a lot of people don't seem to realize or understand, and that's why when people sit there, the biker community, it's like, whoa, what do you mean the biker community or those people? Or, you know, it really sets me off in a different area when, you know, people speak of the biker community that way. It's like, you have no idea how the good they do and how nice they are. And it's like, you're just, everybody's just family, no matter what. And people don't stop to realize that.
Right. Oh, and as we're helping out, we're telling the next generation on it's better to give than to receive.
Exactly. You know, and wherever you can give, do it. Whatever you can do, that's fine. You know, I mean, we know the economy is bad, but we all do the best that we can do, period. You know, and that's how it is. That's how it works. That's how it generates.
Exactly. Well, Nora, I really appreciate you filling in for Phil. And
you are very welcome.
I myself have to get off pretty quick because I got wifey's cooking me some shrimp tacos.
Lucky. It sounds very yummy.
It is. And I got to get ready to watch the 7 p.m. Pacific Coast, West Coast feed of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, mine doesn't come on until 9, but I have it on my DVR, so I'll watch it after the show. But thank you, Paul, for coming on to the show and talking about the mission and, you know, where you have been coming from, your new movie that's going to be coming out with Emilio, and, you know, for the information in regards to, you know, sending cards to your mentor. This is going to be fabulous. We'll get everything out. And we hope to talk to you soon. I know you'll be back on the show. And you enjoy that mission run.
Roger that. Thank you so much, Nora. And you take care.
You're very
and
welcome.
Stay warm.
You too.
Alrighty.
Oh, always. Bye-bye.
Nora.
Yes. Okay, so, now here we are.
I just want Phil to know that I'm all done with the baby's dress and hat, but I'm also making the blanket to go with it. So,
oh, how nice.
As soon as I get that done, Phil, I'm shipping it out to you. Hopefully with the next, you know, week or so. It's just been straight out down here since I got down here in Florida. You know, every day it's been meeting with the commissioners and we're trying to get this thing passed. And
right.
I have just been straight out and
but
lot
you
of
have
problems.
To come up, you have to come up from Florida for that signing of that bill, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do. I'll be going up like the 15th. No, I'm
right.
Sorry. I'm tired. About the 13th of November.
No, that's okay.
I don't know how
you won't have any snow when you come up, you know.
Well,
I don't.
I hope so.
Yeah, because
it's supposed to be very, very
area.
Cold up there. It's supposed
yeah.
to be down below 20 tonight up there. So I'm
right.
real happy that I'm here, you know,
right.
where it's warm.
Well, yes, lucky you. You know, it's been so cold here. I've had to sleep with a hoodie on, jammy pants, socks on my feet, and 5 blankets.
As, you know,
and we're not even in the cold yet.
I know. Phil, I try to get Hermes Wednesday night, but they knocked him off the show.
Again?
You know that? Yeah. And I've tried calling him to find out what the hell happened. But, you know, they would say Block Talk Radio, push 1 if you want to speak to the host. And I did that, and then it would go boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened.
Yeah, because
I thought it was just maybe there wasn't a show.
No, that's, you know, I don't think so. I think there was a show, but I think they just knocked him off. You know,
right.
And I, like I said, I've been trying to call him and leaving a message, but he hasn't returned the phone calls, you know.
Right.
So,
well, he is a
happened.
Busy man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is, you know. You know, what was that? Did you hear that?
That is I am typing back and forth.
Oh, okay. So did he
so
get
this
the
way you don't have to worry.
Huh?
I say you don't have to worry. It's just
so he heard me then, right?
Huh?
He heard what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Did he hear from Hermes at all on that?
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah. You know, so. But it's been, you know, real busy, so.
Right. So how? Tell us how Florida weather is treating you.
Down here?
Yes.
Well, today was like 82.
Okay.
Sunny. We've had some rain since I've been down here, you know, like the clouds just opening up and raining, and then they, across the street, there'd be no rain. But all
right.
in all, it's been real good since I've been down here. I haven't
okay.
had a chance to enjoy it, like I said, because I've been running.
Right.
And,
Eunice?
Yes.
Phil did type to me that he did talk to Hermes, but
oh,
that's
he
all he said. So, okay.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't know why he wasn't on Wednesday?
I don't know. I know he hears us. You know, he just
yeah.
hasn't typed anything else, so. I guess it's something that when his mouth feels better, if you come back on Thursday's show, He may say something then. Or maybe Evan, yeah. Oh, he was on after 1 hour. The show came on an hour after.
Oh, really?
He was able to get on, yeah. So we missed the show.
Yeah, we did. An hour later, though. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, well, we had to do that before. It's crazy. You know,
It's really stupid. What can I say?
It's the world, as we know, of being watched and listened to.
Well, hey, you know, I don't know what they can do to this old lady, but what can I say?
I know. But, yeah, I'm very excited that you were able to, that you're going to be up to sign that bill. It's just been such a long, long journey for you.
Well, like I said, not just for me, for hundreds of people, you know.
Right, and it's not just your son. It's everyone else out there, you know, that is that they're afraid to come forward or afraid to speak up, you know, because they're humiliated or, you know, whatever their feelings are.
It's a tough, tough course, you know. I mean, it's not easy. You know, people say, they're just filing these cases because they want money.
Right.
Listen, they don't know what people have to go through.
Right.
I mean, the churches aren't very nice to people when we do depositions.
Right.
You know, and whoever would file and I'm sure there has been. I'm not saying there hasn't been. But please, probably one out of every 600, you know. And it doesn't even get that far. Do you know what I'm saying? Because they're investigated so highly now, you know. I mean, you just can't. To take the abuse that they give you, anybody that's lying about it's going to walk out, you know. But, hey, it is what it is, and it's about time that our wonderful representatives and senators, you know, this time the insurance companies aren't going to win, and that's the bottom line. This time the children are going to be protected.
Right. Well, they have to be because, you know, we always grew up thinking that church was sacred and was safe, you know, not thinking that abuse would ever take place behind closed doors.
Yeah, well, it's been the biggest secret in the world, and it still is. Got that Corey check, and a lot of places still don't use that Corey check, you know. And believe me, when I find out the ones that don't use it, I'm going to be the first one to report it.
Right.
It's a battle and a half, you know. It's amazing. It's amazing what money can do.
Money is greed.
Yeah, it's you know, some of those lobbyists, their God is their money. And that's too bad because I don't know how the hell they sleep. You know, that old
just
thing
like
is,
you and I do, you know? But the only difference is they go to sleep and they care in the world.
Right. You know, there was a rabbi that wrote a book in the book. Why do bad things happen to good people? And you want to know something? It's because they are good people. And when bad things happen to them, they respond, you know, where bad people, if bad things happen to them, that's their way of life. They just brush it off, you know. So it's... you know, it's never going to be a perfect world. We know that. People ask me, well, I was at a meeting today with the county commissioner, and she says, well, how are you going to vote, Eunice? And I said, I'm not going to vote. Yeah, what? I says, I'm not going to vote. I says, because what happens is going to happen, and it's not going to change it, you know?
Well, see, what a lot of people don't understand is when they go to votes, as soon as the electoral votes are calculated and as soon as the other part of the votes are already calculated, it doesn't matter what you vote because it's already been tallied on who's going to gain it, who's going to get it. You know, and if people understood voting more, they would see it for what it is. You know,
well,
when you hit those main states, when they get one, and then the electoral college votes, I mean, that's it. It's already locked.
You know, who do you vote for? I mean, I don't
like
either one. So, you know,
no,
I mean,
neither do
it,
I. I don't vote. And, you know, I know people have knocked me throughout the years, and I said, for what? It's one jerk after another. So, you know, what's the point? One less vote isn't going to make any difference.
In my age,
you know,
it doesn't make any difference to me, you know. And I know that can probably be a poor attitude,
right,
but it keeps me out of a lot of arguments.
Well, exactly.
I'll go to the polls. You know, I mean, I'm not... When I say it's nobody's business how I vote, in other words, and that's the way I should say it, it's none of your business the way I vote.
Right.
But they don't know what to say when I say, oh, I don't vote, you know. But
well,
I do vote.
Like I said, you know, before people didn't want to vote, year ancient history ago, people didn't want to vote because then they always got picked for jury duty, you know. And now they don't do that anymore. They don't go by who votes. They go by your driver's license number. It's crazy.
Right.
But, you know, and people, you have your voters and then you have your non-voters. So, of course, you're being looked upon. Well, you don't have a say-so pretty much on what goes on politically because you didn't vote. You know, it doesn't matter what your preference is. I don't judge people if they do or if they don't. I look at, you know, who's worth being in the office? Who's one that isn't going to sit there and lie? They all lie. So
well, you know
get
something,
in there.
Even with the voting, okay, let's face it. The insurance companies run this country.
Right.
By us not putting a mandatory on them, they just run this country. And
right.
They have their own ways of supporting representatives and senators and congressmen and the whole nine yards. And they got the money to do it. And that's why these favors get done, see, you know, is because we gave you so much money, you know, now this is what we want you to do. And, I mean, it would be nice if we found people that would really stay true to what they say. And you got few and far in between that do it.
You know,
when you're a representative and you don't go by what the old boys want you to do, they don't appoint you to committees, see? And that's how it works. If you do what they want you to do, they put you on the best committees and you make extra money and it's one pat on the shoulder to the other, you know?
Right.
It's amazing. You know, I don't know if I'm repeating myself, you just tell me, but the 31st of July when Hermes and I and his friend Ron was at the State House and we were there, you know, late into the night when the Senate announced that they were pulling this bill and putting it in a conference committee, the lobbyists really got pissed, you know, and they walked out. And they were all in the hallway, and one of them very bluntly said, talking to other people as I was running by to go to the ladies' room, said, I don't know who the fuck she knows, but she's the one that got the bill pulled. So on the way back, did I tell you this story?
No.
So on the way back, where I was nice and refreshed, I tapped him on the shoulder and I very nonchalantly said, first of all, I says, you don't know how to say fuck right. You know, and he kind of looked at me like, what the hell did she just say? You know, you got to picture it, Nara, because I'm a very, I'm snow white. My hair is snow white, you know.
Right.
So that word coming out of my mouth face to face, you know, kind of threw him off track. And
right.
then I said to him, you really want to know who it was that got this bill stopped and who I know? And he looks at me, and there was like probably five or six guys standing with him who were all lobbyists. I said, God. God is who I know. And guess
right.
what? You're not getting your paycheck this week. And I walked away. Later on, Hermes and Carmen Dursel, who's a big lawyer, that helped write this bill up. As a matter of fact, him and Norman Garabedian did the bill. We just had input into it. They went over and asked him who I was. And Hermes and I wasn't standing too far away from them. And he says, oh, you've never met Eunice? You know. And he said, no. And he, well, you should be around when the Senate is in the House of Representatives talk to it because they all cross their legs.
Right.
You know, in other words, I'm a ball buster, you know.
Exactly. But
that's
you
what you have to do.
Unfortunately, with the battle that you have had for so long, you had no choice but to be that. You had the bus balls to get to where it is right now.
Yeah.
Next
right.
month, you're going to be signing a bill. And that is beyond the stuff that I don't think a lot of people would have waited years and years and years like you did in constant battle. You know, a lot of people would have just given up.
And a lot of people did because they lost, not that they lost interest, but you know, some of our parents, mothers and fathers whose children were sexually abused and maimed by
right.
pedophiles, you know, they get tired of hearing the same story. I mean, I'm tired of it too. Don't get me wrong. I'm tired of telling. I hate to tell you how many times I've told the story over and over and over and over and over again, you know. But somebody has to do it.
Yeah.
Somebody
and
has
you know
to
what?
Do it.
Sometimes it just takes one person to stand out of the crowd to do that battle. Sometimes there's multiple people, but sometimes it's just one voice. But that one voice can make a difference.
You know, and it's a little dent. It's, you know, it's not a big dent, but if everybody made a dent in something, you know, it could become a big dent, you know, and that's the main thing, you know, is getting those laws changed. And if we could change this and throw the insurance companies out and the non-profitable organizations and get this passed, protect these children, then we can do it in other areas too.
Right.
You know, it's just that you have to have the stamina to just keep on fighting, you know. You just have
well,
to
Well, you know,
fighting.
As Phil would say, you know, pick your battle and, you know, either go for it or walk away from it. Meaning, you know, everybody has their battle.
Right.
And if you're so heartfelt into going into that, then that's what you do. You know, but if you don't have the heart to get into it, walk away from it.
That's right. I mean, you just, I could never step back from it. I mean, if we didn't get it passed this year, I would have been out there again next year. You
right.
know what I'm saying, you know? And,
right.
and I tell that to Representative O'Flaherty, who is the chairperson for the Judiciary Committee. You know, if it doesn't get passed this year, you know I'm going to be back here next year.
Exactly.
you know, so just get used to it because you're not driving me
away.
You're
not going anywhere. Right. You're not going anywhere. You've stayed a firm ground all these years, you know, and that's a big accomplishment. You know, anybody else would have given up after so long. That's it. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. Because at times, I'm sure you felt like you were beating your head against the wall. And you weren't going to get anywhere, you know. But you were persistent. You kept up the fight. And look at where you're at now.
Well, let me tell you, the day after.
Later,
the day after July 31st, I had a meltdown. I really did.
Right.
And I just said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And I really meant that, you know. I mean, I had really no control over myself as far as...
your feelings?
Yeah, the feelings were just gone. They really were.
Right.
I just...
you were just very overwhelmed, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It was totally, totally terrible. But I bounced back again, you know, so
right. That's
the main thing, I bounced back. So I don't want to leave you alone. Is there anybody else out there that could be with you for a while?
No.
No. What time have we got here?
Stacy is not feeling up to par. Otherwise, she would have bumped us tonight. I tried to get a hold of her before the show, and she had to decline because she's in bed under the weather. So, you know, and my first thought is, I was telling Phil, I'm like, oh, you know, because he's like getting in touch with Stacy. Okay, you know, so I did, and then I'm like, oh, just be grateful it's not just me alone, you know, because I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, well, I've been on the show enough to, you know.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job, that's for
pull
sure.
Pull something out of a hat, you know.
Yeah, you're doing a wonderful job.
But now next Tuesday, I don't know if you heard, we're going to have a specific guest with us next Tuesday, a week from today. And it all originated in my state back in the 80s. But he's a man that's going to be coming on the show. We're going to talk about a book he wrote, about the life he led. He was the first youngest person in the United States that was charged as being a drug kingpin. But his life is different. He did his time. You know, and things are in a positive way for him.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So Tuesday show is going to be interesting. I can't say what Thursday show is going to be because Phil can't talk.
Right.
Okay.
Tell him Phil, I miss you.
And we do have Fran on the line with us. Fran, are you there?
Well, yes, I am.
Hello, how are you?
I'm going to take your show on a different spin tonight.
Oh, that's okay. That's not my show. I'm just winging it by the seat of my pants. I'm not doing too bad.
But it's kind of interesting. I can mute him without muting him.
I didn't know what happened when it said that I was muted by the admin for breaking the rules. I don't know what I did.
I don't either, but damn, I sure hope I don't get there. Okay. I had the privilege of working TAPS. I don't know if people out there know what TAPS is. I sure as hell didn't.
No.
However, if someone is thinking about suicide, and the majority of the people that were at this were military connected one way or another.
Okay.
Son, daughter, wife, husband, one of them committing suicide. And I got invited in an unusual way. And that primarily was because they needed someone who had my skills, which is sign language, which is why I had typed to you, boy, you're doing my job for a change, having to translate.
Right.
But what TAPS is, it's a support group trying to help people deal with the fact that a family member had committed suicide. And
that'd be
that
very hard.
Oh, God, tell me about it. And what I found, first off, I'm going to back up, okay? I'm going to put TAPS aside. And it was interesting because one of the things that came up is the why issue. Why did they have to commit suicide? Why? And I would really like to ask people to look in a mirror and honestly answer, did you ever think about committing suicide? Okay.
Right.
And I bet, and I'm talking their whole life, whatever.
Right.
I almost bet that 90% of the people that look in a mirror and answer honestly, they will probably have to answer yes. That they thought about it. Now,
well, yeah, because you have to look at it honestly in regards to it could be your background, it could be experiences that you've gone through in your life. At some point, all of us have thought, you know, well,
this is the easier
I wish
way
I wasn't
out.
Here anymore. Yeah, because I'm
okay,
tired
so,
of feeling this. Right.
So if we honestly answer that first question, that's the first. There's the first why. Second why, how many people have actually tried, hey, when I was a teenager in high school, life sucked, honey.
Yeah.
I swallowed a whole bottle of Excedrin. Now, yeah, sure developed a really nasty ulcer, and
oh.
I was one of the fortunate ones that didn't die.
Thank
but
God.
How many people out there are willing, again, to look in that mirror and say, yeah, I did that.
Not many will admit it compared to the ones that will. Does that make sense?
It does, but the problem, and I actually started writing in the computer, the mental dialogue in my head of these things that I'm kind of bringing up on the show.
Right.
And what I'm actually, the reason I'm bringing it up on the show, as you know, I don't hide nothing. I don't care.
Exactly.
I'm 61 years old. I don't care. Okay? And if people will take the time and say, you know, maybe I had to look at my closet.
Right.
And maybe instead of saying, why did they do this to me, maybe the why for those that actually followed through on that was they were looking at it as they were doing their family, their friend, their whatever, a favor.
Right.
Okay. Instead of, look what they've done to me.
Right.
They've ruined my life. They've ruined my children.
Right.
And so, again, I have to go back and say, is that really what the person intended? Now, a lot of this was that new PS, whatever, I can never remember the acronyms.
The PS.
The PSD. Is that,
the
PS, is that what
PD,
this is?
Yeah.
Or isn't it? Or is it that the person was just so tired that they had, there was just nowhere more for them to go.
Right.
Okay. Now, for those that have actually ventured down that road and said, well, yeah, I've been there, and I've been there, the next question I have to ask, have you ever been sitting in a room and then all of a sudden someone actually either broke into your consciousness or what have you, and you woke up mentally several hours later sitting in the same chair The only difference is it's 5 hours later and it's dark.
Right.
Okay. And I bet maybe 20% of the people that answer the first two will answer that one yes.
Right.
Could that cause them to commit suicide or think about suicide? Not necessarily, but you know what? There was that possibility. Because at that point, they're disengaging. And you'll ask, how do I know? I've been there.
Right.
And so once again, when people say, well, why? When you're dealing with people, you're dealing with stress. If we go to what's happening in our schools right now with bullying, we had bullying back when I was a kid.
Right.
But the only
it wasn't as horrendous as what it is today, though. I mean, there is bullying. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, these kids are very brutal today. They don't care about posting videos. They don't care about posting it on their Facebook pages or other social network sites of what they do. I mean, they're just outright uncontrollable.
But
you know,
with just what happened, where they one girl that was just on the news, where she was actually thinking about committing suicide because of it.
Right.
And how, now, this is what people should be doing, is rallying behind that individual or individuals.
Right.
So that saying, this is not acceptable.
Right.
One of the, and unfortunately, suicide is still looked down at as, well, that person was weak. No, they weren't.
No.
You know how difficult
sometimes
it is?
Sometimes people are just tired.
Well, I've been there. But do people realize what it actually takes to put everything together to do a suicide? I mean, it's
you
not
know,
like, oh,
I,
yeah.
I've been around it. I've been around it, and I've witnessed it. I've almost witnessed it in my own family. And, you know, it's something that it's always there in your head, you know, in regards to incidences. I've had somebody try to commit suicide in my home. You know, I had my youngest daughter, when she was younger, she wanted to commit suicide. She was bullied so bad. I mean, no matter how I fought, no matter how I got so angry at school district, they wouldn't stop it. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then when I get an attorney, then they want to kiss my butt. I'm like, are you serious? This is nuts. Do you have any idea how these children have scarred my child? They don't care.
Well, no, they don't. And, you know, it's getting to a point now where if Facebook is being used in that manner.
I know that all too well.
The rest, yeah, but you see, the thing is, it's time for the rest of us to start pushing back and saying, you know what? Get the fuck off. Or, you know what? If something does happen, we'll make sure that you go to jail for it.
Well, let's put it this way, okay? Now, we can look at this in different areas here. Okay, you have people that are openly wanting to state that they want to commit suicide. Then you have people that are purposely out there threatening innocent people. I mean death threats. And you know what?
Yeah.
Nothing happens to them. They don't get their pages taken away. The post still stays up there. And you know what annoys the piss out of me? Is that these assholes get away with it. And they think it's okay. But what they don't realize is when they generate that hate, all it takes is one nutball. One nutball to do something.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying? You know,
all you need is one person to follow through on the threat.
Exactly. And guess what? There it goes. Now, in regards to a suicide, I had a gentleman come and request me. This was some time back, okay?
Uh-huh.
He was out from the military. His life was just going to shit. I don't know if he was suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. I have no idea, okay? But he was a marksman. I mean, he was good at what he did, okay? And it was strange, you know, he seemed fine, you know, and then it was like the next day, and he's like, you know, it was really great talking to you for a little bit that I did. I wish I'd had more time, but it's my time to go. I'm like, what? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were leaving my page. He goes, no, I'm going to take my life. And, you know, I've had family members that were dying telling me that was it. They were done. They were tired, you know, of fighting diseases. And,
well,
you know, they just wanted to die. Right.
Yeah,
they just wanted to die. And I hate hearing that. If somebody says to me, I want to die, I said, don't ever say that to me. Don't. Because they don't understand what I carry. You know what I mean? Even though it's not my guilt, it is no guilt. I just hate hearing that, you know. But anyways, this gentleman was telling me that he was going to commit suicide because he was losing his family. He was losing so much. And, you know, it's like, well, wait a minute. I was trying to keep him talking, you know, because I didn't know what else to do. And then I thought, okay, so as I'm keeping him talking, you know, I'm hoping with all my heart, because so many people put up fake information on their pages. You don't know if it's true or not. And I had gotten a hold of the police department close to him. And I said, look, this is what's taking place. I do not know this gentleman, but he is a marksman or whatever they call it, sharpshooter. He's trained, you know, in combat, hello. And I said, but this is what he is saying publicly on his Facebook page. You know, I don't know what to do, so that's why I'm calling you. And, you know, do you have any idea? I said, well, I hope this town is where he's at. I don't know. I'm hoping that's not why. And they actually got him just in time. They got him just in time. And, you know, I was very upset, and I was very emotional about it because the last words my brother said to me is, I just want to die. And, you know, he went out with a bang. You know what I mean? And I would have really kicked myself if I didn't do something. I wouldn't have been able to live with myself, you know? I couldn't save my brother, but I saved this person for the moment, you know, and it was very hard for me, you know. And whether or not they told him, I don't know, I don't care, but somebody that didn't even know someone else reached out and we stopped it for the moment.
But for that moment, and sometimes
yeah.
That's all it takes. Is just that moment to get over it.
Right.
Well, just that moment. Now, the other concern I have is everybody wants to treat everything with a drug.
I know. Welcome to USA and everywhere else, you know. Oh, you're not, here's a pill. Oh, I'm feeling like this. Here's a pill. You know, come in. I can understand if it's blood pressure. You know,
well,
blood pressure, that's a different story.
They're finding out that some of the antidepressant drugs
are just as bad.
Worse than the depression.
Yeah. Look at Paxil. You know, Paxil made people feel suicidal.
No, that one almost.
You know, and then there was a recall on Paxil. Well, I mean, not a recall, but they had a judgment against the company. That people that took Paxil were able to be awarded X amount of money per claim because, you know, the side effects and everything, you know. I find it ridiculous. I really do. A pill doesn't, you know, when people sit there, oh, I took my happy pill, I'm like, I didn't know you had to take a pill to be happy. I didn't know you had to take a pill to be sad or whatever. You know, they obviously haven't found a pill to fix stupid people, you know, but I find it ridiculous.
Yeah, Paxil for me, and what had happened is I had gone to my physician.
Right.
And the problem I had is I couldn't sleep. At best, I was getting 3 hours of sleep a night.
Right.
And so, as typical male doctors, sorry if there's any male doctors out there listening, but actually, no, I'm not, but whatever. He automatically assumed, oh, female, not sleeping, must be depressed. So he gave me Paxil. I took one pill. That one pill, I was on a trip for 5 days that if I had an enemy, I would wish them that trip for 5 days. You've seen where people have go through, I want to say phases, but all of a sudden they're happy, they're sad, and they just keep flipping every 20 minutes?
Right.
I was doing that for 5 days on one pill.
Oh, my God.
It got better. So when I finally was conscious enough, or whatever you want to call it, I called and left a message for the doctor and said, I'm not going to be taking these drugs anymore. This drug is worse than Black Beauty's, which I was prescribed in Florida when I was younger, and yada, yada, yada. And the woman that's taking this down says, do you really want me to type that? And I says, well, fuck yeah. If I said it, I want you to type it. This is not, you know, politically correct. You want to be politically correct? You can be politically correct. This is what it is.
Right.
Okay. So the next time I go in to visit with the doctor, for my appointment, I'm waiting outside, this person from the hospital comes out to sit and talk to me. And she says, well, I'd just like to know a little bit more information about this.
Right.
And she says to me, she says, why didn't you come to the emergency room? And I looked at her. I says, if this one pill did this to me, what are you going to give me that's either going to change it or make it worse?
Yeah.
And she looked at me like, and you know what? There is no answer for that. Because what if you gave me a drug to counteract it that gave me something else that made it worse? Or what
right.
if you gave me something that now became permanent? And she just, like I said, she was an administrator, and she was just trying to get a grasp of, like, was the hospital going to get sued? Yeah, I wasn't looking to sue the hospital, but I sure wish that a lot of these doctors
right.
would take the time and actually listen to their patients prior to, here, take this pill.
Right.
They're so quick to walk off these pills for one reason or another. So now, let's say we're back to, what about suicide? And, like, that gentleman was lucky. And the reason he was lucky is that you were listening
right.
to make a difference. You saw the warning signs. And it's interesting because as I was hearing stories, a lot of the stories also came up with, yes, I'm fine, and everything is quiet now. Everything is good.
Right.
And my first thought when I heard that, well, I've been there more than once, but my first thought was, back east in a winter storm, when the storm is at its worst, and then when the snow stops, it actually appears that the world has stopped.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to explain to a person what that
is like.
Right.
You know, because like last year we had a horrendous snowstorm here. And 20-something inches in 24 hours. I mean, everything was shut down. When things are shut down, you kind of get, like, in that panic phase. Oh, my God. What if something happens? Nobody can get in or get out. You know what I mean? And, I mean, for 3 days we were snowed in. You know, and all I could think about is I looked out and I thought, this is like the Antarctic. I've never been there, you know, but it was just like, this is scary. This will make people panic. This makes people panic if they feel that they're confined and they can't get out. You know what I mean? That gets depressing all on its own.
For me, it was totally different because I was up in Hunter, New York. I was in a tavern that a friend owned. I was one of the bartenders. I've had a very unusual life, but everybody knows that anyhow.
Right.
But so I'm in this 28-room hotel that is haunted. I'm the only one that's living in the building.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's great. That was one of the times I thought about suicide. But when that snowstorm, I actually went outside and walked. There was an inner calm, an inner peace, such a stillness, such a quiet, that is when a person gets a chance to think their clearest.
Yeah.
And I remember being on a beach. I couldn't hear the people around me. I couldn't even feel the coquina that was in my hand.
Right.
Okay? And people were calling my name. I couldn't hear that either. And that itself is, once again, you know, where are you? Where
did you go? You know, because, and I agree with you, I have stood out many times after the first snowfall. It's so still, it's so quiet, and it's so crisp. I mean, you just absorb everything in, and it's just, I don't know, you can call it peace, you can call it whatever you want, but it's just something that, unless if you experience it, you have no idea what somebody's saying when they refer to it that way. People can't relate.
It in itself is a truly wonderful feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, those who have gone to the other side obviously has felt that and then continued on. And that's the sad thing.
Right.
So, Wednesday, as far as tonight goes, I'm hoping that the listeners tonight, I know that in high school, I lost two friends to suicide. Suicide, by the way, is not a shameful thing.
Right.
It takes an awful lot of courage to do it. And oftentimes when people take it as they did it to them, to their children, or to the spouses, or whatever, they did it not meaning to hurt them more, and I really do believe this.
Right.
Not to hurt them more, but to end the hurt for themselves and those that they're hurting.
Right.
Either through abuse or through the drinking or through whatever it is.
Right.
It's trying to end a portion of their life, their inner being, thinking that this is the way out. Not actually seeing the big picture of how is this truly going to affect my loved one. because they can't see that.
No.
I couldn't. I know I couldn't.
And it's not, you know, what I always look at, it's not the direct, you know, that stereotype stigma that suicides bring. Well, it was the family upbringing, or, it, you know what I mean? They want to put a stigma to a suicide because that's the only way they can make sense of it. They don't understand that a person can just hurt so much or break so much before they find, that's it, I'm done. I can't do this no more.
And then when you get the added pressure of what they've gone through either in the military or what they're doing, what they feel like they're doing to their family member or members
right.
or to a friend because they can't go any further. They're done. And again, it's difficult because I remember in high school, not only was he a good friend, but he was a good wrestling buddy for me. Being a tomboy, it's not too often a female back in those days could actually get away with that.
Right.
And the reason, one of the reasons that he committed suicide was because he felt like such a failure. He was overweight. He had to lose 50 pounds in order to enlist to go to Vietnam.
Right.
And he struggled. He couldn't make it. And so he committed suicide. It was that simple. He felt like such a failure because that was the one thing that he had left to make himself feel like a man was to
right.
try and enlist, and he couldn't do it.
Because but the sad thing was he wasn't a failure.
He wasn't
you know.
A failure, but nobody else around, and you know what, I didn't see it either. That
right.
was the problem. I didn't see it either. And I miss him. I mean, you know. But when you just don't see it. I mean, it's not part of our training. It's
right.
not part of, you know what, shut your mouth and listen for a while and see if a person needs some help. And if they do, be there. Oh, no, I've got some things to do. Is your life that important? That you don't have time for somebody else. I will give you a story. I was in the laundromat, and I was in, and we all do this. We get into such a frenzy that we're trying to get this done, we're trying to get that done. I was trying to get the laundry in, and this young man, mildly mentally retarded.
Right.
And, I mean, really nice kid. And all he needed was change for a quarter because he needed to use the bathroom. And I remember looking up and I said, I've got to get this done. I can't do this right now. And this young man drew me a flower on a piece of paper and handed it to me. And what lesson that taught me, and I believe in lessons, what that lesson taught me is, no matter how busy or how hectic your life is, it's never hectic enough where one cannot acknowledge another person, regardless of what's going on.
I know.
And like I said, he was mildly retarded, and I probably, with all these papers around me, I bet you I could still find that rose that he drew for me. And it's like, you know what? That we're talking of something that happened almost 20 years ago.
Right.
This just didn't happen. This was like 20 years ago. And it still haunts me today, the fact that I did not have the time, or I didn't give him the time, is what I should say, to change a quarter so that he could use the bathroom. And that's sad. We have gotten in our place now in life where our young ones are not seeing what is valuable in life anymore.
Right.
You know, if it doesn't have the mighty dollar, if it doesn't have the fancy car, if it doesn't have, mom and dad may not be able to afford it, but mom and dad's going to do it anyway.
Right.
And then they wonder why all of a sudden there's a suicide. Well, you know what? Money and so forth does not bring back a life.
No. It doesn't. And a lot of times people just don't realize how precious life is. You know, we're here one day, we can be gone the next.
Well, like I said, hopefully, like I said, this was a really very tough weekend for me because I was there the whole weekend.
Right.
And with John's anniversary coming up, it made it even tougher. But to hear and listen to the individuals that are taking on such pain and trying to figure out what they had done to do this, for them to do that. And it really doesn't have anything at all. Some of it might, but it's the person themselves that had decided that this is it. I have to do this.
Right.
So, like I say, for the listeners out there, TAPS, there's suicide hotlines. But you know what? What is it going to take for people to start getting involved? And we really do. We are each other's keepers. We have that blanket run that's going to go on up in L.A. I wish I could be up there. I did send up 9 blankets.
Right.
And you know, I hope, even if you don't have any blankets to donate, well, go. Guess what? Go to Salvation Army. Go to Goodwill. Go to any of those stores and say, look, I'm going to a blanket run, and I need blankets. Do you know that the manager of the Salvation Army here in San Diego, when she knew that this is what I wanted the blankets for, she gave me the blankets for $3 a piece.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I do buy a number of things and donate from their store, and they know it. Whatever, okay? But
right.
You know something? Unless you ask and say, this is what I need it for, this is what I'm doing. And I really, the people that work in that Salvation Army, I appreciate every single one of them, because when they know that I'm looking for X, Y, and Z, or if I need X, Y, and Z for like the blanket run, or I wanted stuffed animals for the children that from Sandown, or if I, they have always stepped up to the plate and said, look, this is the kind of deal we can do for you. What more can I ask?
Right.
But if the people out there don't go to their places and ask, how do you know that you can't get? Okay? And, you know, I was so pleased that I was, and I'm talking comforters and I'm talking blankets. I'm not talking, you know, sheets or anything. I'm talking blankets. This woman gave me blankets for $3 a piece, and I was stoked. So anybody that's out there, even if you don't go on the run, drop off a blanket. How much can that hurt you? Drop off a blanket. If anybody's out there, we've got more blanket runs coming up. Some of the churches, and I'm not a church person, I'm sorry to say. Well, I was, you know, being kicked out of Catholic school in second grade just kind of put a little brand on you a little bit, you know? So I kind of.
Come on, yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. But, yay. I was a problem child back then, so. And I haven't changed any. I know. But whether it's in your faith, even if it's not in your faith.
Right.
Think about it.
does it hurt you that much to open your wallet and even for $5 buy a blanket? And if people would go and check, sometimes like Salvation Army and Goodwill, they have like 50% off days.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I have bought some really dynamite coats for some of our people here. I have a direct line to some of our homeless here in Ocean Beach. And I just cut out the middleman and just go direct. But you know something? For that one moment, you have given somebody something that might make the difference of them living or dying. And
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is what they're looking at. I mean, it's true where you guys are. I've been there because I lived in that snow. But
right.
The cold here is a different kind of cold. And when your blood, my blood is thinned out. When your blood thins out, it's equal. It's an equal coldness to what you feel when it's really cold. And so it might only be 40 degrees or 50 degrees at night, but because of the moisture, it feels like it's 30 below. And when that bone-chilling cold gets into their body,
right,
sometimes they'll just shiver to the point of, guess what? They ain't waking up in the morning. Or I heard one woman say they gave CPR to someone who tried to commit suicide. Blood was still pumping through this person's veins. But mentally, there was nothing that the EMTs or this person could do to bring this person back over to the other side. Even though they could feel the blood pumping through the person's neck,
right,
this person died. And that's because the brain shut down. And once it goes to that side, it's done. There is no return.
Right.
So, like I say, hopefully, and I mean, this is kind of a good time to really talk about this.
I think so, too.
We're going into the holidays. And Christmas time, which a number of these individuals did do their suicide at Christmas, is actually the highest time where people commit
suicide, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're alone.
Well, but you know what? You can be in a crowd of people and be alone.
And still be alone, right?
Okay. And this is the hard part that people don't understand. How, with so much family, with so many friends, how can you be alone? Because you are. Because inside, there is nobody out there that can understand that dark place where you are. And if there is a person, are they at a point where you could actually bring them back to thinking about maybe that living is a good thing? When a woman asked, you know, I was talking to one of the women, and there's that Christmas story where he has the angel, and the angel takes him to what would have happened if he wasn't alive. And
right.
A number of times, I mean, that's my most favorite story at Christmas. I'll play it again and again. That and the Grinch. Those are my two favorite stories. And that story there, I mean, if people want to stop and look in that mirror and say, what changes would there have been if I had died 5 years ago? And if people would even do that, look at 5 years ago. What have you done in your life? You helped someone with a flat tire. You helped someone. I gave a woman a buck. I mean, like as if a buck's going to break me. And I told her, I said, when you're in better times, just pass it on to someone else.
Right.
You know that a year later, the woman actually started doing better she came back and she wanted to give me the buck back, and I says, no, 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 you have to give that to somebody else.
Yes, pay it forward.
Yeah, it basically pay it forward. And it was like, wow, okay. But you know
but
what?
You know, people don't do that. They
but
don't
you know
really
what?
Do that a lot. Go ahead.
But it wasn't even the dollar. It wasn't even the dollar. What it was is that someone cared enough to stop and say, hey, what's up? Take the time. Just like you took the time to make that call and save that person.
Right.
That's where we are today. We need to slow down. We need to find out, hey, you know what? How many people even know their neighbors?
I know I do, but that
well,
doesn't
I do
mean
too.
Everybody does.
I mean,
you know,
all my neighbors know me, and I know my neighbors. I even
there's
see
a lot of people
neighbors.
That are very anti-social. They don't. It's not like it was in the 60s and the 70s where everybody knew everybody in a neighborhood, you know. It's completely different. People keep to themselves. They don't want to know you. They just pass by and, like, you're nobody.
Well, I'll tell you, I sure wish that there were more blackouts because the day that we had the blackout here in OB, it was wonderful.
Right.
Because there was no TV, there was no games, there was no bar, essentially, because they had to close down legally. And a lot of the stores closed down. People didn't know what to do. And it was interesting because I sat out front and all of a sudden there were a number of us sitting outside just having an old time, you know, sit down. Hey, this is pretty cool. Conversation.
Right.
People don't even know how to do a conversation anymore.
No. Do you realize that the electronic world has taken over? It's not like what it used to be like. When's the last time you sat down face-to-face with someone? Like how it used to be? You know? I'm serious.
But it's sad. It's sad because at this point, people should be building more relationships than destroying them.
Exactly.
Now, this is the one thing that I'm really proud about, is that in the biker community, yeah, I have never, ever felt alone. Ever. I will stop for any bike that's on the side of the road. They're always stunned because when they see it and realize it's an older woman.
Right.
And you know what? I don't care what the patch is on the back. That has never made a bit of difference to me. And again, they know as well as I do what the patch is. But it doesn't, like I said, doesn't make any difference.
Right.
We need to start getting involved, getting engaged, getting our children engaged. Get them off of Facebook. You know what? Take their cell phones away. If they would take once a month, or not even once a month, out of a month's time, take their cell phones away for 1 week so they can have their cell phone for 3 weeks out of a month. They will go through such a withdrawal. Take their computer away. Take their computer, take their electronics away for 1 week a month. Make them read a real paper book. Make them sit down at the table and have a conversation. Have their friends come over to the house, if they have any. And if people, you know, I don't care. You want to homeschool your child? Great. I don't have anything wrong with that. Except for what are you doing? You're isolating your kid more and more. And then you're isolating that child more. And I've heard people who are, oh, no, but we're engaged in church. Okay, so what is your kid doing at church? Praying with everybody else. Hey, great. What are they doing at church? I don't want to hear that they're praying. I want to hear that they're out there playing football together. I want to hear that they're playing cards. I want to hear that they're going on a hike together.
Right.
That's what I want.
You know,
to hear.
I homeschooled my youngest because she was bullied so bad. And I couldn't take it anymore. Schools couldn't protect her. I was fed up. And I pulled her out. So that's it. That's how we're doing it now. And you know what? She went to college. You know, she was fine. She, you know, and people criticized me. You know, you're isolating her from the world. I said, from what? She already knows what the world's like. I said, but is it fair for her to come home every day, being, you know, hit and everything else? No, it's not. And if they can't protect her, I can. Bottom line.
Yeah, but you know what? You may have homeschooled your kid. However, did that stop you from having her friends come over to the house? Did that
no.
stop you from involving your kid in other events?
Oh, no. She was in cheerleading. She was in
yeah.
with the park
okay.
district. She was in all different things, you know?
When you – see, there's – there
and
is
that's
a
difference of isolating
yes.
and not having any outside activities versus – being homeschooled and just secluding inside, you know.
Thank you. What you did,
right.
and when I hear homeschool, it's like there's a big difference. There's a big gap.
There is.
And it would be interesting to see psychologically how well the true homeschool that is isolated does when they come back into society, and how well do they handle situations?
Right.
Because that's part of the learning curve when they're actually in a public school or in a school. The bullying has gotten out of hand. I will agree with you. And at that point, their classmates should be stepping up to the plate.
But they don't. You know, I mean, and that... What happened to when kids used to stick by each other because they were friends? You know what I mean? Instead of promoting more of a problem. And that's, this generation is just freaking crazy. It is. You know, people used to tell me, don't take her out of school. You know, don't teach her at home. Let her fend for herself. She didn't want to fight. I would have taught her. I know how to street fight. You know, she didn't want to know it. She didn't want no part of it.
Well, I
and then
was,
she
I was,
thought, well,
I was
if
a street
I'm
fighter,
quiet,
so
don't leave
no
me alone. Right. But then, you know, she thought, well, if I stay quiet, they'll leave me alone. No, it made it worse. But then at times, I made it worse, you know, defending for her. And, you know, we don't do that purpose. We're parents. You know, but the bottom line is we do the best that we can because, you know, I was a bully when I was a kid. My brother was heavy set. Everybody picked on him. Oh, you're not. It's my brother. You know what I mean? And I didn't have a problem. I'll stand for the ones that are weak. You know, I'll stand for them. But, you know, something has to stop. There's too many children that commit suicide because of bullying. There's too many of them. They get in with the wrong crowd. They get in the drugs. It's insane what happens to these children. Or it's like my daughter, you know, she held everything in, and she became a very angry person because she didn't know how to filter and how to...
At that point,
deal with that anger and that hurt.
At that point, that person, that child, could have gone a different route. That
oh, yeah.
child,
and it's not like she didn't want to. You know, she sat there and she's like, "Mom, I thought about killing myself because of what has taken place." And you know, but at least she was open with me. And most kids can't do that with their parents.
Well, I know I couldn't. My mother wouldn't have been able to understand it anyway. But for all the people out there, please, please, all I ask is take the time for another. And it's not just solely for suicide.
That's anything.
For anything. Take time for another. Because if you can take time out of your day for another person, then hopefully that person will be there for somebody else that is in need. Even unknowingly. That's fine too. But please, please, people out there, there's organizations out there that are really substantial, such as TAPS. They're good people. They're good families. You have hotlines out there.
Yeah.
If a friend is trying to help, even if you don't really care for that friend, guess what? Take the time.
Right.
Be that friend for them for that moment. Because that moment can make the difference.
We are out of time for tonight's show. We will see you back on Thursday.
Oh, no, I'll be working, honey.
Oh, okay.
I'll be working.
Well, okay, I'm following.
And I won't be on with you next Tuesday because that's the Ride for Kids meeting. And then we're having the Ride for Kids. So hopefully everybody in San Diego and Riverside and so forth will come to our Ride for Kids. They're very special. They're brain tumor children. They're actually there at the event. We're not there selling anything. There's no vendors. It's this day that we celebrate is for these children.
Right.
And not only that, we have the oldest, and I'm so proud of this, we have the oldest child who is going to have a master's degree. Okay, so, but you know what? Come out. Come out and be part of it. I will talk to you later. And please,
okay,
everybody,
have a great night.
Have a great
night. Okay.
Next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.